Thank you, ladies, for that. Psalm chapter number 81 this morning. Thank you again for being here. And thank you for being faithful to church. We're going to look at something I hope that'll be an encouragement and a help to you this morning as we look at Psalm chapter number 81. There are a lot of things in life that are outside of our control. And by the way, those type of things that are outside of our control, we have to accept them. Many years ago, I heard a teaching. Someone talked about the unchangeables of life, the things we need to, that we have no choice over, and we need to just accept them in our life. You know, things like who our parents are, you know, where we were born, how old we are. One of them was gender, and you look at those things and like, well, that's dumb. People wouldn't struggle with that. Well, welcome to 2021. Okay, people came and figure out what gender they are. It's pretty easy, by the way. Usually, when you're born, they figure that out. But actually, they usually figure that out before you're born, right? Ultrasounds and all those things, and now they're 3D, and it's like, it's crazy. But there's things we can't. We just have to accept it. It could be some circumstances. But there are other things that happen in life and go on in life and maybe cause consequences, maybe a strong term, but whatever, the path of our life. And they are within our control. Some things can turn out to bring positives. Other things can bring negatives. Some of the negatives that come in our life are in the form of things that we miss out of, that we miss out on because of our choices, things we choose to do. If you like sports, in 1994, the Portland Trailblazers, they had the second pick in the draft. And at that time, they had some talent. They were a pretty good team. And the year before, they had, if you understand basketball from the last 30 years, they had drafted Clyde Drexler. They got him a little bit later in the draft, who turned out to be a Hall of Famer, just fantastic ball player. And so they were kind of set up for the future, the second pick in the draft, they were going to get it. Bobby Knight suggested to them there was a certain player that they should draft. And they told him, they said, no, we need a center. We're gonna draft Sam Bowie because we need a center. And Bobby Knight said, look, draft the guy I'm telling you to draft and make him play center, but you got to draft this guy. And they said no. So they drafted Sam Bowie, who was not a horrible player, but he was injury prone and didn't last very long. Well, the next team had to pick, you probably know if you're a sports fan, were the Chicago Bulls. And they selected Michael Jordan. As the years went on and Portland was a very good team, you always wondered, like, what if they had picked Michael Jordan. Now, I'm a Laker fan, so I'm glad they didn't pick him so we could just still beat them. But that was within their control. There's things that happen in our life that maybe are negatives. And sometimes we live with regret, and we look back and like, if I would have just made this choice, this is how it should have turned out. But it didn't. We're going to see a little bit of that this morning in the few minutes that we have. Psalm chapter 81 is written by Asaph. He starts out with the first part of the psalm by talking about praising the Lord. He talks about the feast of the Lord. There was several different feasts and things, but there was four specific ones where they would praise the Lord. And God had ordained these feasts as a way for them to keep their attitude right towards the Lord and to look back at some of the events, some of the things God had done in their life, so that they could rehearse that to their children, who would rehearse that to the next generation. And apparently they had got away from fulfilling some of these or fulfilling them the way they should. And then as we get into the middle section of the verses, he's a little bit more specific. If you read it, you can see he's talking about their time in Egypt and how God brought them out of Egypt and God saved them from the servitude and all those things. And God really wanted to do some things in their life. They're reminded of those things. But then there's a transition in verse number 10, and I want you to see it. He says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. As you look at the history, that's kind of the history of the Israelites. They got out and they did good for a while, but really if you look at their history and overall put it in a package, they didn't listen to the Lord. They didn't do the things they should. And God's like, I want to do great things for you. I will fill you. I'll give you the life that you need. I will meet all your needs. I will take care of you if you would just open your mouth and let me fill it. And then in verse 11 said, but the people would not hearken to my voice. And I like that phrase. Israel would none of me. It's almost like they're saying, you know, we're not having it. We're not going to do it. There's just no way. So instead of them getting what God wanted for them, the desire that God had to do great things in their life. So instead of them getting that, God stepped out. Look at verse 12. So I gave them up to their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. The word lust also has the sense of stubbornness and even a hardness. In other words, this is just what I want. And this is just the way I want, and you're not going to change me, and I'm just going to do it. That's what I really desire. And God said, fine, if that's what you want, I'm done. I'll step back, and I'll let you do what you want to do. And so he gave them up, like, go for it. And they walked in their own counsels. By the way, some people, that looks appealing to them. I can just do what I want. I can just follow my own way. Whatever I desire, I'll just go for it, and I'll just do it. And if God will just leave me alone, I'll go for it. But by the way, that's a really bad place to be. Really bad place. Verse 13 sums up how God feels. Verse 13 says, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. And there's an exclamation point. Okay? What is God saying? But that's not what I wanted. I wish that you would have just listened to me. I wish that you would have just decided to walk in my ways and not do your own thing. But they didn't. Things did not turn out for them. We know the history of Israel. And although it did not turn out well, God made it very clear that that was not his desire. God had something else he wanted for them. What did God want for them? That's what we're going to look at. In verse 13, after verse 13, where God conveyed to them, God conveys to them how things should have played out. Not how things did play out, but how they should have played out. How some of the things that were not good could have been taken care of had they just listened to God and followed his plan for their life in the first place. What they missed out on. By the way, understand that God wants to work in your life and mine as well. Do you know God's working in our life doesn't end at salvation? Now, for some people it does because they choose for that to happen. But that's not what God wants. When we get saved and our eternal destiny is settled, God's like, now it's on. Now the good things are going to happen. Now I can work in your life. Now we can go forward. And now you can experience everything that I have for you. But most people cut it short. Yeah. What a shame it would be for a Christian to get towards the end of their life and look at things and like, you know, this didn't turn out the way I wanted it to turn out. And that didn't go this way. And this thing, and to have regret. Well, that's not what God wanted. When we disobey the Lord, not only do we feel the pain of the consequences of his chastening sometimes, but most importantly, we miss out on the blessings that God had designed for us in the first place. And I don't know what's worse. Is it the horrible consequences that come sometimes because we choose to walk away from God and do our own thing, and so we're left to our own devices? Or is it worse, the good things that God had for us, the blessings, the desire God had to work in our life and be a part of our life, and we miss out on that? What is worse? Now, maybe I'm wrong, but I think it's missing out on the blessings that God has for us. I want you to see three areas where they, after they walked away from God, where it affected their future and things did not go the way that they should have went. First of all, it affected their enemies. Look at verse 14. God said, he said he wanted to do great things, and then he's going to be a little bit more specific to them. He goes, and I should soon have subdued their enemies. and turn my hand against their adversaries. You see, once Israel was out of Egypt, after, and then, you know, well, we're going to bypass the 40-year drama of them not going into the promised land. Now they're through that, and now they're going to follow God. They're going to go into the promised land. And so once they got through all that, and they get into promised land, and they kind of take possession, now they're going to face enemies. There were in the history of things back then, there was a world, not worldwide, but that part of the world, certain, God rose up certain world powers that would take over, but there was always those other enemies that were there to cause trouble, the Philistines, Moabite, these other ones. And so there's all these different enemies, and so they had to constantly be on alert, and war was just a part of it. And God said, I'll take care of all that for you. You'll get into the land and your enemies aren't going to overrun you, and I'll take care of you. That was something that they really needed. And by the way, their enemies were very wicked. The false gods that they worshiped were horrific and immoral, kind of like what's going on in our country now. We just don't call it religion. We call it a choice. And God said, you know, I would have subdued your enemies. I would have turned my hand against them. Yes, there would be battles to fight, but you read the history. That during the times when they were right with God, some of those battles, they just stood by and watched. Some of the battles, they went in there and they were so fearful and ran off, they didn't suffer very many casualties. But then there were the other times, because they're away from God, those they should have defeated torched them. They lost out. They did not gain the victories they should have had. Now, our life, and what the way they lived in the promised land, that's supposed to picture our Christian life. It was a promised land. They were living on the promises of God. That's our Christian walk. God has always pictured living for him as a battle, right? 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And the key to spiritual victory is that we be spiritual and we use spiritual weapons. You see, just as if it wasn't just about their military might when it came to winning their battles, fact of it is, the majority of the time, it came down to were they on God's side and was he on theirs? And it's the same is true with us. It's about how are we fighting our battles? We're all going to face them. We're supposed to fight them spiritually. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You see, if they would have just followed God, he would have dealt with their enemies. He says he would have subdued them. The very enemies that were threatening the Israelites' lives would have been subdued by God had they only followed him wholeheartedly. God would have kept them in the background. God would have put them down for them. By the way, do you know you have a spiritual enemy? It's not, Satan is not some guy in a red outfit with a pitchfork and a tail and he breathes smoke. There's a spiritual warfare going on here, and we have a spiritual enemy, and the reason we lose is because we're not very spiritual. We're choosing to do our own thing, and when we choose to do our own thing, we forego the power of God that is available to win. Many of the battles that we face, we would not need to if we would just walk close to the Lord. That's almost a little bit of what God is saying here. If they're walking close to me, a lot of those battles, I'll subdue their enemies. It's almost as if they're not even going to have to fight that battle because I'll keep them out of the way. When you don't walk with God, when you don't spend time with God, you're facing enemies you don't have to face. You're fighting battles you don't have to face. Look, I don't have to face the battle of alcohol. I don't. I don't drink. I don't go anywhere near those type of places. That's over in my life. Now there's other things, of course, like we all have to battle. I get it. But some of us have these tough battles. I had a relative one time, and they were struggling with that, and they were going to AA or something, and the counselor there was very, I was going to say idiotic, but that's mean, just they're not safe probably, but they're not very wise. They said, if you're going to fight the battle, you ought to go to the bar and not drink. That's stupid. Don't go. Get as far away from it as you can. Why would you willingly place yourself somewhere where the battle's going to be strong? That's what happens when we're unspiritual. There are so many. Look, we all have temptations. I get it. That's scriptural. We all have spiritual battles. I get it. But you know, a majority of them are stuff we don't have to fight. We're not walking with God. We're doing our own thing. And whenever you do your own thing, you're going to put yourself into a place where you're fighting battles you just don't have to fight. Those should have been subdued. And he says he would have squelched them too and turned my hand against their enemies. You know, it'd be nice. It's nice when God's fighting for you. God's fighting with you. It's nice to know that in our spiritual battles that we do not fight them alone. And by the way, a lot of us in here, we didn't grow up in church. Now our families are now, but and maybe there's things in our life because of our past that are there, they're just front and center. We got to fight them and we got to go for it. And it's like sometimes, well, that's just too strong. No, it isn't. Because the Lord will fight for you. Well, I'll just sit back then, and if I don't make it, if I don't do well, it's God's fault. He didn't fight for me. No. God fights for you as you're fighting. I gotta sit on the sidelines. You know, well, you know, I've had people like, you know, I was struggling with this thing, and I prayed and I asked God to help me, and it didn't help. Well, what were you doing? Yeah. I heard someone, and it sounds heretical, but it's like, someone, I heard a message many years ago, they said, God helps them who helps themselves. Right. Now, the whole point of it is, God empowers us to do the things we're supposed to do as we're seeking to do those things. Yeah. But what we want to do is to God to take us against our own will, and it doesn't work that way. We fight in his power, but let me just tell you this, we have to fight. Yeah. And God could be on our side. We do need to, he says in Ephesians, put you on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I think he's telling us we need to fight. Yep. Verse 13 of the same chapter, he says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the day. And having done all the stand, he goes, get your armor, but stand. Yep. You're in the battle, you got to fight. But how do we do that? Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might, in the power of his might. But if we're not willing to fight, he's not going to fight for us. The point is, if we're losing spiritual battles in our life on a regular basis, if you struggle as a Christian on a regular basis, that's not what's supposed to happen. God doesn't send battles our way so we lose. God sends battles our way so as we win, we're strengthened. Any of you like boxing? Well, boxing's kind of for sissies, like the other ones where they don't use the gloves. But they're fighting. You know, here's a fighter that's up and coming. They don't say, okay, this guy's going to be a champ someday, so I'll tell you what, his first fight's going to be against a champ. They don't do that. You know what they do? They'll start him out with someone at his level. And then he wins that fight. Now he goes to someone that's a little bit higher level, and they build him up. You know why God allows things in our life? He's trying to build us up in his strength. He's trying to say, you see that battle there? You could win that battle with my help, and I'll fight with you. And then when the stronger battles come, we don't feel so fearful. Because God's done things in our life already. So it affected their enemies. In verse 15, he says it affected their endurance. He says the haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him. All these people that hate me, they would have submitted. But their time should have endured forever. In other words, they shouldn't. Their punishment is going to last. It's going to last forever. They're done. They're out of the way. But that's not what happened. What happened is they went on, and the land of Israel kind of lost out. They were the ones that weren't enduring. They were the ones that were going from sometimes victory, sometimes defeat, the struggle, and eventually it got so bad. God said, "I'm done with you. You're going into captivity." And they weren't a nation after that until 1948. Struggles. Why? They should have been going on for a really long time. But they didn't last. But their position was of their own choosing. And let me say this. God is not looking for temporary Christians. Do you understand that? God is looking for faithful Christians. God's not looking for someone that gets saved and they shoot up in their life and they do well. And 3 years later, the FBI couldn't find them. That's not what God's looking for. God's looking for Christians that 10 years down the line, they're still in church. They're still serving him. They're still doing the right thing. If they were Sunday school teachers, they're still teaching Sunday school. They're sticking it out. God's working in their life. It wasn't some just temporary thing. And by the way, God does not expect perfection of you. He doesn't. But he expects you to stick it out. Christianity is not just a phase. Christianity is a life. God wants us. He said, your enemies, they would have submitted, but they're not the ones who submitted. The ones who submitted were the Israelites. It's ironic. Think about this. The submission of their enemies was totally dependent upon their submission to the Lord. Really, in great measure, how they performed against their enemies had a lot to do with how they were walking with God. And if they're walking with God, they're going to go on. But if they don't walk with God, things are going to happen. And they would discontinue being a nation for a really long time. How long are you going to be a faithful Christian? I appreciate some of you that have been here. We had our anniversary in some of the old buildings. I was in that building, all that thing. That's great. But those of you sitting, how long are you going to be here? How long are you going to still be serving the Lord 5 years from now? Statistics tell us that the average church member lasts 7 years. And then they take off. And by the way, let me just say there's always a reason to take off. I know, they always want to blame the church. By the way, when someone leaves and they're blaming the church, look at their life, what's going on in their life before you hear it. If someone came to me and said, Pastor Miles, I don't like this church. There's things here I don't like. I'm not going to be here anymore. You know how that's legitimate? What church are they going to go to? Go to another good church then. But if they walk out the door and they're not serving the Lord, it has nothing to do with church. It has everything to do with lifestyle and life choices. And they don't continue on when God's like, you're missing out. You're missing out. I got something for you. That ought to be our desire. By the way, if you want to have the marriage that you're supposed to have, you better stick it out as a Christian. It's so easy. Once, you know, as you go through it and you're single and then you get married, then you start having kids and life starts happening and all this stuff, it's so easy to kind of put God on the back burner. But you better think about something. How's that marriage going to be 10 years from now? How are those children going to be? If you don't want to be faithful to God, you ought to just for the sake of your children. One of the things that saddens me the most when someone, and not just our church, any church, they're in church, they're doing well, they get out of church, and they don't even go to any type of church in their lifestyle. I'm thinking, what about your children? Yeah. Are your children even saved? I just can't imagine as a parent getting so far away from God, not wanting to have anything to do with it, that I'm not concerned about the salvation of my children. Do you understand that? That's a big deal. And everything else, the example you set for them. Every time you don't come to church because of some reason. And by the way, there's always reasons, right? You know, if you're sick and throwing up, that's a really good one. Stay home. We don't want you here until you get better. By the way, since we're here, 10-second commercial break, live stream is not church. Yeah. So, but Pastor Myers, I'm watching you on live stream. Thank you. Appreciate your ministry. But if you could be in church and you choose live stream, that's not church. Back to our regularly scheduled message. But you know what you're showing your children? And by the way, let me just say this. You could probably miss a service or two for some lame reason and be okay. Maybe you can. But you know what you're just teaching your children? It's not a conviction, it's a convenience. It's not my Christian obligation, it's an option. And maybe you'll make it, but they won't. But back to what we're talking about here. God wants us to be, look, we're not perfect. None of us are perfect. Okay, none of us. Okay. But we can be faithful. We can stay in the right key. We can spend time with God. We can just be in our place and doing the things we're supposed to be doing. Lastly, it affected their energy. Look at verse 16. He says, he should have fed them also with the finest of wheat and with honey of the rock, should I have satisfied thee. You know, whenever they would lose battles, oh, the war was going on or someone's besieging them, you know one thing that it always affected? It affected their food supply. By the way, that was strategic. The enemies would come in, and if they're walled up, they would try to find their waters. If you go in Israel, there was some aqueducts, some underground aqueducts that King Hezekiah built. He knew that they were coming, the enemy was coming, and he wanted to make sure they had their water supply, and he very wisely diverted it and hid it out. But they're going to cut off your supply. You look at it, the one, I think it's in 2 Kings, where I think the Assyrians were besieging them, and they were eating their children. They were eating stuff. And remember, that's when the lepers were sitting outside and said, we're going to starve. Let's just go to the enemies and just surrender. And God had wiped all the enemies out and the food was just sitting there. But they were starving. By the way, famine is always a sign of God's judgment. And so they were struggling and God's like, you know what? That didn't have to be that way. I would have taken care of you. You would have had the energy. I would have fed you and you would have everything that you needed. God wanted to provide for them. In verse 10 again, remember, open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. But they wouldn't take it. He said, they don't want to have anything to do with it. And God said, you're starving. You're starving. Look at what God would have taken care of them. He would have given them superior food. Verse 16 says, he should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat. Right? Fine. It was not just wheat. God said, I would have given you the good stuff. Not a filler. Now, we've all eaten at places where it's like, okay, it's okay, it's food, but it's not top-notch. Years ago, someone gave us a gift card for Christmas to Fleming's. How many know what Fleming's is? It's a steakhouse on steroids. And they gave us a $100 gift card. That was nowhere near enough. I knew it was kind of a heavy place, so I'm like, all right, how do you know, dress up nice and we pulled in there, and everybody's got these expensive cars, and it was. Here's how you tell if a place is expensive or the food's good. Number one, they sell the food individually, and I don't think they had prices on it. Now, I can eat at Sizzler occasionally. I still can't eat at McDonald's. That's not a hamburger. It's not food. It's over there. But I'll tell you what, that place was like. It was good. It was worth the extra money. I don't even like macaroni and cheese. I don't. I don't know. My wife ordered Chipotle macaroni and cheese. And I'm like, that looks good. And it was like, yeah, it was like, I felt something. It was, you know why? Because that's not just a steak place. That's like a steak place. That was like the finest of the steak. Big difference. You know, God gives you the best. God says, I'll take care of you. The nourish, I'm not going to give you a quarter pounder with cheese. I'm going to give you like a real hamburger made with not horse meat. Okay? Not that McDonald's serves horse meat, but you know, hey, it could be. I'm not sure. Here's the point, though. We settle for the inferior when God says, I have the superior. Yeah. Now, if our family's like, you know, we're too busy to cook tonight, let's just get some food, we're not going to Fleming's. Okay? You know, you walk in, there's a loan application. I'm not doing it. But it's like, look, God's like, this is the good stuff here. You know, one of the reasons we settle for second less in our Christian life, we really don't believe that God is superior. We really don't think that what God has for us is the best. By the way, some of you young folks, that's why you're afraid to follow God's will in your life. Let's just be real honest here. Okay? Let's talk to you for a minute. If someone talks about serving the Lord, surrendering your life to Him, you fasten your seatbelts and you buckle up. Because you really don't think serving God will be the best thing for your life. Now, by the way, if God doesn't want you to serve Him like that, then you better not. But if God does, you better. Yeah. God's way is always the best. And we settle for second best. Let me ask you, what are you substituting for God, the superior God? So many people substitute fleeting pleasures of the world, and they forego the lasting joy of the Lord. We fall for the false philosophies that our world and this society tells us at the expense of the eternal truths of God's word. We want to follow the untried path of our own way instead of just submitting and following God's will. You can do that. And by the way, your life may not be a train wreck. Not one of these, like, if you don't follow God, you know, a semi-truck's going to run over you. But you're eating McDonald's when you can have Fleming's. In fact, I'm going to go there today just to make sure, you know. But God's way and what he gives us is not only superior, it's satisfying. Verse 16 again. And with the honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. Now, I'm not getting on McDonald's. It may seem like that. But I think we were going up to Jack's wedding. And we had to stop somewhere to charge, and there was a McDonald's there. So it's like, all right, I can survive one. Now, if McDonald's aren't very good, McDonald's in the middle of nowhere are really not very good. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? They're like in the middle of nowhere, like, where else are you going to go? It was bad. It turned my stomach. It was not only not satisfying, it was like, we're going to have problems later on. Not satisfying. Yeah. It's bad. And not just me. My kids may like McDonald's. They're like, that was bad. You ever eat something and it seems like that's like cotton candy. It's sugar mixed with air. And that's not going to satisfy you. It's going to give you an upset stomach. You need real food. Man, whenever we're following God's will and we're following his way, we're satisfied. We don't have to look for something outside of our lives. We don't have to look for something outside of the Lord. We don't have to look for something outside of our marriage. We don't have to look for any of that. It's all good. God gives us, and it's not just superior. It's like, I'm satisfied. He said, Pastor Ross, I have a hard time believing serving God and following him is satisfying. It's because you've never done it. See, some of you kids, you grew up in our church and you look at the things of the world and it's like, that's satisfying. And because you're on the fence, you're not satisfied with what you have. But by the way, there's a lot of us in here, we were on the other side of the fence. And we can tell you, it's not satisfying. It's not satisfying. What's the point? The point is, that's what they should have had, but they didn't get it, did they? You know what their problem was? Give me 2 minutes and we'll be done. You know why they missed out? In verse 13. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me and Israel had walked in my ways. He said, I wish if they would have just listened. There's a difference between hearing and listening. Hearing is standing up here when we're doing the announcements. Listening is knowing, when's that single retreat again? Are you with me? Okay. Hey, we're going to have a one-by-one or reaching unashamedly soul winning October. Like, okay, I heard that. When is that again? Is that November? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Oh, here, let me just be real. Listening is your wife talking to you. That's hearing. Listening is, I know what she said. We'll have an altar call in a minute. Got to listen. That's a stopping point for most people, right? They hear, but they don't listen. That's what they do. They know what God said. They know what God wanted. But my people, verse 11, would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. It went in this ear, and they purposely pushed it out the other. And then we must live. Verse 12. Or he says, that they had hearkened unto me and Israel had walked in my ways. Well, if they had listened to him and heard what he was saying, they would have done it. But they didn't do it. By the way, a lot of us are educated. We're more spiritually educated than we're living. And I get it. We hear so much. But we ought to be going down that path, should we not? You can hear whatever, but it's not going to help you. That's why people, they come in for counsel. What can you do? I know what they want. They want me to tell them how to get that problem out of their life. They don't want to change what brought the problem. Can't help.
Yeah.
Can't help. Go see someone else. If we're not willing to work together from the scripture to find out what we need to do, it's a waste of time. And they messed out. Now, what about you? I know all of us, none of us are perfect. We can think of areas in our life or maybe a time in our life where we missed out on something because we just weren't in tune with what God wanted. But it's sad that they should have had these things. Israel should never have had, now I understand prophecy in the Bible was going to happen, God foreknew all that, but they should have gotten the land, followed God, defeated all their enemies, been blessed beyond measure, and just went forward. It didn't happen because they didn't do these things. Now, what in your life are you missing out on because you're not listening and hearing what God said and you're not walking in his ways? You can't live a better life than that. Quit listening to the voices around you. They're everywhere. They're, oh, this is the best way to live. And that, we listen to the wrong people. Here's what we need to listen to, right here. You'll never go wrong following this book. You won't. Let's bow our head and close our eyes just for a minute, if we may. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for 1 minute, please. Let's just be convinced of one thing. God has our best interest at heart. We saw it in the verse. Before he got to the part where they lost, he said, man, I wish you would have just listened. If you would have opened your mouth wide, I would have filled it. And I would have filled it with the best. But they didn't. What's your story going to be 10 years from now? What's it going to be? What's it going to be? Who are you listening to? What's knocking you off of doing the right thing? Because when you do that, for whatever reason, and you can blame it on this, that, or the other, regardless of who you blame it on, regardless of why you let it happen, the person who loses out is you. It's you. I would admonish, look, I've been, when I got right with God, right before I turned 18, I finally said, I've had enough of my own way, I'm gonna follow the Lord. From that day to this, God has been faithful. From that day to this, I've never regretted following him. Now, I've regretted there's times in my life where maybe I wasn't where I should be. I've never regretted it. God's been better to me than I deserve. I deserve nothing. God's been so good. I'm just trying to stay on his path. Now let me say this before we have the invitation. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's the starting point. We cannot hear his voice. We cannot follow his ways if we are not one of his children. That's impossible. God wasn't speaking to the Israelites about this, to the nations around the Israelites. He was speaking to the Israelites, his people. If you're saved and you're in the family of God, you're his child. But if you're not, you're not his child, and he wants you to be. If you're here this morning and you're not 100% for sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven, you ought to take care of that today. If that's you, if you'd say, Pastor, I am not, no one looking around, I am not 100% for sure if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to be sure. Pastor, would you pray with me? With nobody looking around, if that's you, if you would just raise your hand for a minute, I'll pray for you. Anybody like that at all? Anybody at all? Piano's going to play. If God spoke to you about anything, why don't you come? Let's stand together. Why don't you come speak to the Lord? Sometimes we get off the path with the Lord and we think, well, why go back? It's too late now. No, 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 no. It's better to come back to the Lord than continue down the wrong path. God's so gracious that way.